Let's open up to the first scripture, and then I'm going to pray us in. And this is Matthew 16, starting in verse 6. Technically, I should have put in verse 5 in there as well, but verse 5 started out with the disciples talking amongst themselves that they forgot to bring bread with them. And then Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread?" Next. I should go with 2:16. Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000, or how many baskets you gathered, or the 7 loaves? What's going on back there? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000, and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to present your word here at our home church. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be ready to receive the word, that we would be ready to give the things to you that you ask and to remove the things that you ask us to remove. Lord, I pray that we would have hearts ready to do with the word what you want to do with it. And I pray that nothing would come from my mouth that is of me, but only the words of the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Has God asked anybody recently to do some fasting? Has someone been doing some fasting? Verna, you been doing some fasting? You and me, Verna. God needs to take something from us. the month of July, I felt like God told me. I feel like God does most of the talking to me when I'm in the shower. And so most of the things, I feel like he shows me in the shower. So I was in the shower towards the end of June, and I felt like God told me to fast. And he told me to fast a couple of things. But one of the things he told me to fast was bread. He told me to fast bread. Not pasta necessarily. He said just bread. Just bread. Fast bread. So I said, okay, how hard could this be? Turns out, very hard. I never realized how much bread I consume on a daily basis. Like, I used to think, it's not a meal if you don't have meat. And now I realize, it's not a meal if you don't have bread, man. Like, dude, I eat so much bread. So much bread. And the first week, I didn't really lose any weight from this because it was just a fast. It wasn't a diet. I did lose a few pounds, but I noticed that I was far less bloated. Like, people, like, within the first week were like, "Oh, Justin, have you lost weight?" I said, "No, but thank you. I think it's just I'm not bloated anymore." It was crazy. The whole month of July, I went without bread, and it was really hard. It was, like, really, really hard. We went on vacation. Some of you know we went to San Diego at the end of the month, and I felt the Lord say, "You can break your fast going to vacation." And I was as excited for San Diego as I was for bread, man. Dude. We were driving out, and Shia's like, "Do you want the last egg witch that we have prepared for you driving to San Diego?" I said, "No, there's some McDonald's, and I'm getting bread. I'm going to eat bad on this vacation, dang it." So, bread is so vital. Not just bread, but I felt like as I was studying for this word that God, I realized why God wanted me to fast bread. Because as I was studying for this word, getting prepared for today, the very first thing that the Lord, in my daily reading, I was reading Matthew, and I came to chapter 16. As I was just doing my daily reading, the day I was going to start studying for this message, and I was like, "Okay, God, what do you want me to preach on?" And this is the very first thing that came up, was Matthew chapter 16. And I felt the Lord was telling me that there's leaven in your life that you need to get rid of. Things that are in your life that are leaven. And I said, "Okay, God, what does that mean?" So this was as much for me as I hope it is for each one of us. This came out of my personal fasting time. And so I hope the Lord speaks with you in this as well. So let's pull back up Matthew chapter 16, verses 6 through 12. Now Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they began discussing among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." Jesus, aware of this, said, "Oh, you of little faith." I love that right away. How these men who spent so much time with Jesus can be so dense still. Like, I feel like it's just, they're an easy target. If you were a stand-up comedian back in, you know, AD 4, my gosh, man, the material they could have on the 12 disciples, man. It's just so funny to me that he says, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Like, he meant bread. He meant bread. We messed up. We didn't bring bread. We didn't do it. And then I think it's so funny how he concludes it. And he said, oh, you have little faith. Why are you discussing amongst yourselves that you have no bread? If you can continue on for me. Do you not yet perceive? Do you remember all the food that we gave the people with all the little amounts of bread? Or the second time we did that, a lot of bread with little bread. And then continue on. So he just finished roasting. How do you fail to understand? You dum-dums, how do you still not get it? And then it says, then they understood that he did not mean bread. Like, how simple is that? After he roasted them, they're like, oh, okay. Yeah, he didn't mean bread. He meant this. They're dum-dums. But that's all of us, right? We all can be dum-dums, not perceiving. But so Jesus, the first thing that was on his mind when they got in this boat and they were all leaving together and the disciples were talking among themselves how they didn't have bread, what was on Jesus' mind? What was important for him to communicate to the disciples? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And why was that on his mind? Why was that on Jesus' mind about the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? See, Jesus, just in the previous chapter, and we'll get to in a moment, had a debate with some Pharisees, as he does regularly. And the specific discussion he was getting into with them was about some traditions that they had. And so let's jump into that. Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. Then the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? If you're reading, you follow along with me, you're taking notes, write down the tradition of the elders, or if you're reading in your Bible, if you want to go ahead and highlight that. Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. He answered them, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? Again, if you're taking notes, if you're reading along in your Bible, if you either want to write that down or highlight it, why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? If you want to keep going. For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God. He needed not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. Again, if you're taking notes, if you're reading along your Bible, highlight or write that down. For the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. Keep going. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. I want you to even leave this up, okay? Don't take this down. Leave this up. I want people to see this as I'm going to say what I'm going to say. Did you guys ever once, studying the Old Testament, anybody who likes to study the word, study the Old Testament, how many times does the word Pharisee come up? Not a once. Not a once does the Pharisees come up. And then here we are, if you read the Old Testament, if you read in the Bible in a year, you're going through it, and then you get to Malachi, and then you start in the New Testament, and the Gospels are full of the Pharisees. Boom, 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 boom. It's the only people that Jesus argues with. In fact, they're the only people who come against him. Right? The only people who come against Jesus are the Pharisees. So how do we instantly have all these grumpy Pharisees and not have them at all in the Old Testament? Because in the Old Testament, who are the ones whose duties were to continue and honor God's law? That was the Levites. That was the priests. The prophets. Sometimes even kings. Never Pharisees. Never Pharisees. You never once heard of a Pharisee until Jesus starts arguing with one of them. So where did the Pharisees come from? All right? So we have in the Old Testament to the New Testament, there is a 400-year gap from the newest of the Old Testament books to the first New Testament book. Okay? 400 years between that time. And they say that this was the time period when God wasn't speaking to the Jewish people. Now, obviously, we know that God can be speaking at any time. It was a failure of listening from the people. So in that 400 years between the last time that God spoke to the Jewish people to Jesus' arrival and John the Baptist, we have silence. So what happens during silence, right? What happens during the period when you're not hearing from God or listening to God? They had 400 years. Well, let's just keep doing with the last thing that we knew. Let's do the traditions. Let's keep having the sacrifices. And let's keep honoring the law that we know how. And let's just keep doing the priestly duties. Well, eventually, following the last thing you heard from God without getting the fresh thing from God, well, that turns into tradition, which turns into religion that you don't understand what you're following. And then eventually, well, we're not hearing anything from God, so we need something fresh, we need something new, we need to know what's going on. So then the Pharisees come in. The Pharisees and the Sadducees are part of the Sanhedrin, which is a political party in the Jewish religion, and they became the teachers, but they started making up and adding amendments to God's word and changing things up, and they were the ones who started deciding how the priests did their jobs, and they decided how to do things with the temple. Even there was a group called the Herodians, which we don't read about a whole heck of a lot in the Bible, but they were those who actually sided with the Herods, the king of the Jews, to change the laws to fit more of how to lead the Herods and the Caesars and less with temple Judaism. Okay, so I said a lot of things, right? So the Pharisees came in during a time when God wasn't speaking, and they formed a political party in this religion. See, the time when God isn't speaking, during the time when man didn't hear from God, man chose to speak like a god. During the time when man wasn't listening to God, man chose to speak like a god, and started making amendments and changes to God's rules, God's law. See, when our faith isn't relational and we're not hearing from God, it will turn into something political. When our faith isn't something relational, it will turn into something political. And so this is part of the leaven that Jesus is talking about. Now, when we are here at Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is frustrated with the Pharisees because the Pharisees are frustrated with the disciples for not honoring traditions set by the elders. And Jesus comes right back at them and says, your traditions are making void the commandments of God. And this is not exclusive, unfortunately, to the Pharisees. In fact, the older I get and the more I follow Jesus, the more I realize how I am much more like a Pharisee than I want to admit. I think many of us, if we took a deep dive, would realize that. So this is the leaven that Jesus is talking about. So there's two bits here that I think Jesus is talking about, the types of leaven. And we're going to break down each one of those, because religion with leaven leaves our faith unsatisfied. Religion with leaven leaves our faith unsatisfied. And so that's what Jesus is warning the disciples. And what is a leaven to bread, right? That's the rising agent, right? But it's just a little bit. You just put a little bit inside of bread. That's the yeast. That's our rising agent that takes that little, what would be a wafer or a pita, and makes it big and fluffy and nice. It looks satisfying, right? It looks filling, and it is filling. You eat a big, nice piece of French bread, and you feel full for 20 minutes. But then you're hungry again quickly, right? And that's the leaven that Jesus is warning about. The way that the Pharisees are doing this is making them look better than they actually are, and they are actually hollow inside. In fact, the Hebrews and Jewish people, they use leaven specifically as an example of sin. So whenever I say there's leaven, they would mean sin, something that got into a pure thing to change it and make it hollow. So leaven, just like when we hear of sin today, the word sin actually means to miss the mark. And we use the example all the time of missing the mark means you're pulling back an arrow and you're letting it go and it doesn't hit the bullseye. That's called a sin, right? Well, this is the Hebrews form of that, saying sin is the leaven, is the yeast, is the rising agent. You put that in there, it changes the whole dynamic of something that was pure. So what's impure about what the Pharisees are talking about? What's impure about their traditions that we need to examine perhaps in our own lives? Leaven number one, bending the rules to fit the system. Leaven number one, bending the rules to fit our system. See, the Pharisees wanted to make sure that whatever they were gaining, I don't know what their intentions were. I didn't do a deep dive in the study of why they didn't want to honor their father and mother and give, but they were intentionally changing the law to fit whatever their own agenda was or to make it easy for them to follow it. I think we get so scary close to the line in Christianity now. In our own worlds, to just bend the rules a little bit. Like, it's a little hard to follow this that way. So if I can just, I can find a way to twist and manipulate the word to be like, no, that's not what he meant. Or if you actually do it this way. And we do these little things to like curve around the rules so we can make it. So I'm still honoring Jesus. I'm just doing it this way that I interpret it. It's my truth. And that's the way that they're doing this, right? They want to make it so they still get to stay holy with their own set of rules that they're setting. And we do that so much, unfortunately, in the church today. Bending rules, making denominational boundaries to say that I'm honoring God this way and my denomination's got it right because it's the way I'm more comfortable in. Or there's churches, I don't want to get into anything political myself, but churches allowing things, allowing people to be involved that God said, you got to fix this thing first. And instead of saying we need to fix this thing, those people are being praised for being in that position, right? I'm being vague on purpose, okay? I'm being very vague on purpose. And the word says nothing against loving people within their sin, but to praise that position is very, very dangerous. And the thing is, so many times people use their own political affiliation, like the Pharisees, to dictate their religious beliefs as well, or think their religious beliefs should be inflicted on other people's political views, right? My joke is, I always tell people, if they want a separation of church and state, you'll find me on the church side. I don't want anything to do with the state or politics side, right? But so many people be like, oh, I don't know. Like, to be a patriot is not a Christian element. I'm sorry to tell you, being a patriot, being true to the U.S. is not a Christian value. You can be patriotic, but please don't tie it in with our religion. It's not supposed to be there. In fact, many disciples fell away from Jesus when they realized that, oh, you're talking about a spiritual revolution? I thought you were going to overthrow the government, man. I don't want any of this. I thought we were going to be free Jews again against the Caesars and against their taxes, against their ways. I don't want anything to do with this. And Jesus said, that's not why I'm here at all. I'm here for eternal purposes, not your temporal purposes. So our politics and the way that to make other people happy and bend the rules so that the political world can be happy with the church is not something we should have ever been involved with. And that leaven is a scary thing. You see, the Pharisees added political and cultural additives to God's word. We need to stop denominationalizing and culture conforming our relationship with Jesus, because we can't mix eternal things with temporal things. They don't work. They don't coincide. They're not supposed to mix. That's how we say we are in the world, but we're not part of it, right? So a person who doesn't believe the same as us, even though we are supposed to be there for them and love them and see them change, to either cast judgment on someone or to just accept them as they are and say there's no need to change is both equally dangerous for you. Your judgment and your unfettered acceptance is both a sin. And the thing is, Jesus himself, he didn't come to bend the law, even though we are focused on his grace and his love. He came to double down on the law. He said, oh, don't murder? How about you don't hate too? Not supposed to commit adultery? How about you don't lust, okay? How about you don't do those things? We can't let the traditions of men or our current society tell us what should be permissible if God's word is in conflict with it. I'm so not funny today. If this is your first time hearing me, I'm usually much funnier, but I'm not today. So thank you. You got me today, Verna. Thanks. Leaven number two, pretending you are following the rules. Because here's the thing. Leaven one is we're not supposed to bend the rules, but let's stop pretending that we are following them too, because we break them regularly. And the Pharisees, if they weren't bending the rules, the ones that they were following, ooh, they let you know they were doing it, man. They would love Instagram. They would love it. It would be their favorite thing. It would be their favorite thing, man, because they wanted the seats of honor always. Because here's the thing to remember as well. They weren't priests. They weren't the ones who went in and were for the people or did the sacrifices for the people. They weren't the ones caring for others. They weren't the rabbis. They weren't the teachers of the law. They were political figures who only their only job was to get together as their group and say, listen here, this guy's not following the rules. We should stone him. They only came to judge and show how pretty they looked. That's what Pharisees did. That's all they did, man. They had no actual connection to the temple and at the time, the Jewish body of that religious system. That's what they. That's all they did. And they liked to make sure that you knew they were doing really good. But the thing is, they weren't. They weren't doing really good. Nobody can do really good. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Highlight that. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. I pray that every single day. Every single day I pray that, Lord, be merciful to a sinner like me. He's not looking for us to show a perfection or to bend rules to make it look like we're perfect. He's not looking for us to submit to a cultural norm or to change our traditions or even to keep traditions in the church. Because this isn't about just changing now, but what do we believe that should have been broken, that was the tradition of the church that's not even biblical? And we think that makes us righteous. Jesus is looking for repentance, not rule bending, not a show of perfection, but repentance. Because that's what repentance is. It's turning around and removing the thing, admitting that we have a need for a holy God and taking, allowing him to take out that additive, allowing him to take out that leaven. He wants no justifications for our behavior, but he wants repentance that brings that justification. Psalm 139, verses 23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So when Jesus was telling the disciples to beware of the leaven, beware of the things that are creeping into your life, that are changing your molecular structure from being mine to being of the world or being like a traditional church, the things that are taking you away and slowly changing you to be something that's unrecognizable, this false teaching, this false way of doing the things that I said to do, be aware of that. Look out for that. He wants our hearts to be repentant of those things, to be aware of those things where culture is allowing us to twist our behavior, how we're not following Jesus the way he wants. He doesn't want Western civilization church. He doesn't want a woke Christian. He doesn't want an old school traditional Christian. He doesn't want a denominational Christian. He wants our hearts He wants repentance. He wants to be allowed in to change things. I found something when I was studying for this that I found incredibly amazing. So as I was fasting for bread, and I felt like Jesus said, focus on the unleavened part. And so I was looking up Jewish traditions and their feast of unleavened bread, which is hand in hand with Passover. So it happens at the same time as Passover. The actual night of Passover that is in the time of the unleavened feast of unleavened bread, the father of the house, of each household, the night after Passover, during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, after everybody went to bed, he would grab a candle and he would go throughout the entire house with a candlelight, a wooden spoon, and a goose feather. I don't know why a goose feather. Maybe they're big and they're good for sweeping with. But his job was to go through with a candlelight and check every nook and cranny of the house looking for crumbs of leavened bread. And he would sweep it onto the wooden spoon. And once he was sure all of the leavened breadcrumbs were swept off on the spoon, he would put in a burlap bag the spoon, the crumbs, and the goose feather, and put it outside. And then the next morning, together as a family, they would burn that bag. And as I was preparing for this and as I was fasting, I felt the Lord say to me, he wants to come into our hearts, as Psalms 139 says, search me, know me. Where's the leaven in my life? And he doesn't want to come in bursting through the doors and be like, aha, I see all your leaven, you sloppy, dirty little sinner. You need me, you dirty little person. That's not what he's wanting to do. He's a good father who says, okay, come on, let's go. I got the candle. You and me, I'm the father of this house. I'm going to gently, with a goose feather, we're going to sweep this up. We're going to do this together. I'm going to be gentle. I'm going to be kind. And we're going to find every little piece, everything that's leaven, everything that's keeping you away from me. And tomorrow, together, we're going to burn it. But it's my job. If you just let me in, it's my job to pick it up. And then tomorrow, together, we're going to burn that thing. And that's what he wants from us. No more leaven. He wants the opportunity to search us and to know us and to remove cultural norms that we've decided to behave in and traditions that we've held on to that we're not supposed to and sinful ways that we want to look perfect. That's not what we're designed to do. Not at all. That's not the design of authentic Christianity. In fact, what is authentic Christianity? John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. In another place, Jesus says, they ask, what's the greatest commandment? What's the fulfillment of the law? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And it's important to remember what love means, because he said to love as I have loved you. Not love with a passive love, not love with a unfettered acceptance love, not with a hard, I'm just telling it like it is love. How did I love you, love others, love me? This fulfills the law. And one of the things he said is repent. Let go of the things, let go of your American Christianity. Let go of your denominational norms. Let go of what you think you know about me and find out what I actually said, because the enemy loves to twist and distort the word because he knew it well. We can't get our theology from TikTok. We can't get our theology just from what our mom or grandmas told us, though we have to believe that they had the best for us, but sometimes they followed those norms. We have to find out what he actually said. Repent and find out what he actually said. What's true? What's the word? And if you have a hard time actually figuring out what it says, find someone that you trust actually knows what it says. But that's what he desires for us. Love me, repent, and follow what I actually said. Now, as you guys see, we have communion prepared, and I'd like us to take communion today with an unleavened cracker. It was very hard for Kirsten to find something unleavened, but you did it. Good job. Because here's the great thing. When the scriptures we talk about, when we talk about communion, was at the Last Supper when Jesus said, "Here's my body broken for you." And the Last Supper was during Passover. And Passover, as I just told you, is during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So whatever bread they had, it was unleavened. And I believe that's another key thing, another level of the complexity of Jesus that I'm constantly learning and finding more out, is that the bread that he gave is like, this is purely me. There's nothing added. You can't add anything to what I'm doing. This is my body, that it's just me. No leaven, no falsehood. This is me that I give to you, because it's the only thing that's going to make you whole. It's the only thing that's going to make us whole. So I thought it was important that. So if you want to, if you guys want to stand and start coming up and making lines, and I'll continue to talk as we take turns coming up and grabbing these delicious looking crackers. And then we'll take it all together if we want to go back to our seats afterwards. And as you, if you're already sitting down, you've got your communion, we're going to take it together. But I encourage you, as you have the cracker in your hand, as you're preparing yourself, I want you to be thinking, Lord, what's the leaven that's in my life that I want you to make whole right now? Where am I not trusting you as the whole piece? Where have I had political ties to my Christianity? Where have I had traditional ties to my Christianity? Where have I found falsehood in my Christianity? Where are the things that I'm accepting that I shouldn't, the sins that I'm just okay with being there, pretending that I don't have sin and not finding help? Where are the things? Lord, what's the leaven? Search me, know me, go through with a goose feather in me. But as I said with the bread, Jesus said, "This is my body broken, given to you." And that representation of I am the wholeness of the truth. There's nothing that should be added or taken away from me. And these, even as Paul had said, that let no word be added or taken away from the true gospel. So Lord, I pray right now as we prepare our hearts, as we prepare to take the bread, Lord, representative of your body, of you being broken for us. Lord, I pray that you would search us and you would know us and you would enter us if we are allowing of you, saying, if we truly pray that from Psalm 139, Lord, that you would search me and know me. Lord, remove any leaven from my life. I thank you that you are good and you are gentle and you are kind. You don't come yelling and screaming at me, but you care deeply for my purity, but you do it so compassionately. Lord, I have that in my heart as I get ready to receive communion and remember what you've done for me, that you made it possible for me to be whole through your sacrifice for me, Lord. Let's take the bread. They're pretty good. Not bad. And now as we get ready for the cup, Lord, I thank you for your blood. I thank you that you came, you washed us clean, you made us new, you made us whole through your body, and you made us pure with your blood, and that you are a good, kind God who loves us. You have entered us into the eternal things. I pray that we would not go back to the temporal things and make our religion about things that are temporary. Your salvation enters us into eternity, and I pray that we would have a heart for others to enter into eternity, not so that we can judge them by bringing to them their sins, but we would care deeply about everlasting life for them, not so we can show that we are something better, but we are all sinners in need of your mercy. And we receive your mercy through the cup, Lord, through embracing your sacrifice. Let's take the cup. If you guys want to continue to just be with me, I'm going to close this out in prayer now. Lord, I thank you for this family that we are. Lord, I pray that I was not too harsh, but I pray that the word would be received well and that we would do with it what you want us to. Lord, cleanse us. Find the leaven in our life. Show us where we need to be corrected. Show us where we've been so fake and we've believed a fake word and a fake you and showed others a fake versions of ourselves. But help us to be honest with one another, to be repentant, to throw off our judgment, and to see the real, true you, not through the lens of bad interpretation or through bad culture or through temporary culture, but help us to see the eternal, everlasting Jesus and show that with our lives to others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.